Blog Talk Radio.
Sports fans, DW here with another edition of Inside the War Room. Thank you for taking time out of your evening to listen to another edition. We are on our 17th edition. Tonight we have a special guest from Hampton, Sydney, quarterback Nash Nance. That's a cool name for a quarterback. He will be joining us here shortly. He's had 3 years starting experience at Hampton, Sydney. He also was recruited by the Tennessee Volunteers. He got 17 D1 offers. He's a Willie Lanyard Award recipient, and he played at the D3 Classic. He's a really great guy, and I'm comparing him to a very well-known quarterback in the Bengals franchise. It's a very lofty comparison, probably the biggest comparison I've given ever. A little bit about Nance. He's a three-time all-conference player. He's a three-time all-academic player, and, you know, he was a two-star recruit coming out of high school. I think there's a lot of great upside to this young man. He has great pocket poise. He also can show ability through the run. I think it's a really – he has a lot of good upside, and I think an NFL team would be blessed to have him. He's a great leader in the locker room, and he also is very book smart, and he understands how to break down the film. I think it's Nash – is going to bring something to an NFL franchise that, you know, hasn't been seen in a while, though he needs the chance. He's 6'3", 220 pounds, perfect size for a quarterback. So Nash Nance will be joining us here shortly. If you've missed this interview at all in its entirety, check out NFLDraftWarroom.com/interviews. Really great way to get involved with this series. So we will have Nance on here very shortly, and anything else you want to check out on NFL Draft War Room, there's a lot of good things you can check out with a small school big board, a mock draft updated by Mickey, a whole bunch of different things you can do to check out on NFLDraftWarroom.com. And if you want to check out anything else, NFLDraftWarroom.com/interviews. So without further ado, I would love to bring on our special guest for this evening, Mr. Nash Nance. Nash, are you there?
I am.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Sorry about that. I was trying to get you on. I'm running my show from my Kindle Fire HD, so sometimes it's a little sensitive to try to get callers in, but thank you for joining us tonight at the late hour of 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I know you're busy with school, and, you know, things are quite busy for you, but thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight.
It's no problem. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Not a problem at all. Let's jump straight into it. We've got about 23 minutes to talk about your journey going forward to the NFL. I know a lot of people have known about your journey since high school. Let's jump straight into it. You were a two-star prospect coming out of high school. A lot of good D1 schools were looking at you. Tell me about your process from high school to college and your jump to Tennessee where you started your college journey. Tell me about the transition going to Tennessee.
Well, Well, originally, Dan Mullins at Mississippi State, he recruited me a lot when I was at Florida. This was going into my junior year. He recruited Trey Burton and I both. And then he took the head coaching job at Mississippi State my junior year after football season. And he flew down and watched me play basketball. I think the second or third day he got the job and called and wanted me to be his guy there at Mississippi State, so I really liked him. But I was also getting recruited by a lot of other big-time schools, West Virginia, Vanderbilt was really big. I wanted to go to a good academic school that had a good football program and, you know, obviously where I could play early on, freshman or sophomore year. And then before my senior football season there at Calhoun High School, I committed to Vanderbilt and was committed to them all throughout my senior season. And then after the season, I picked up about 12 or 13 more offers. And I just started visiting other schools just to make sure, you know, I was making the right decision. And at the time, I was getting recruited by Coach Kiffin's staff there, and then they left. And then Coach Dooley's staff came on, and they wanted me to come to Tennessee. So visited it, and I really liked it, really enjoyed it. And then one of my good friends in high school, who's basically my brother, Derrick Rogers, who he just got re-signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. He played receiver for me. And we both really liked Tennessee, and it was something, you know, we thought about doing out of high school is going together to the same college. And it just worked out that way that we both really enjoyed Tennessee. So I went to Tennessee. I was there for 2 years. I had redshirted, and then I was there my redshirt freshman year. And then after Tennessee, let's see, it was my redshirt freshman year, and second half Alabama. I was supposed to start like midway through the third quarter, and things were kind of quirky, and they didn't work out. And so I kind of knew I wanted to transfer after that, and I didn't want to make a lateral move. I didn't want to go to a, you know, Division I AA school. If I was, it wanted to be somewhere like Harvard or Yale. And I looked at those schools, and I thought I was, you know, very confident in getting to Harvard because they recruited me heavily out of high school. I had a really good GPA at Tennessee. I was academic All-SEC the 2 years I was there at Tennessee. And the Harvard's head coach was very confident I would get in. And it worked out where two or three of my credits weren't going to transfer over, and I wouldn't be eligible to play. So then I looked at Lehigh and Holy Cross. And then after about the seventh or eighth week of recruiting there, while I was still at Tennessee, I'd gotten my release after the season. We found a school called Hampton-Sydney, and just kind of stumbled upon it. We knew that it was a good academic school, really high academics there. And then they obviously threw the ball around a lot, and, you know, I visited it kind of unwillingly. You know, it's in Farmville, Virginia. You know, at the time I was thinking, you know, it's an all-male school in Farmville, Virginia. There's no way I'm going to go there. It's Division III. And as soon as I stepped on campus, I really fell in love with it, and I really liked the coaching staff, and ended up just praying about it a lot, and wound up here and had an awesome 3 years here and met a lot of great people and had a really good career here and haven't really looked back since then.
Well, let's rewind a little bit. That was quite a journey we've already talked about. At Tennessee Volunteers, you said Derrick Rogers, who, you know, also transferred out. He's quite talented. I know he's been in a few different teams. And actually, I was quite high on him coming through the draft process last year when he got the calling up. And I know that sometimes the transitional point is kind of hard for certain guys, but, you know, you took right effect over in Hampton-Sydney. Also, I wanted to say congratulations on your award, the Willie Lanier Award. Very prestigious award in Virginia. I wanted to say congratulations. But you picked up right where you left off at the Vols. You know, I know it wasn't quite the transitional point, but 3 years starting, you've had 29 touchdowns, three-time all-conference, so definitely the abilities there. Tell me about your relationship with Scott Riddle, who's definitely been a QB-minded person, coach, mentor figure, and also your relationship with head coach Marty Tavert, who's going on his 15th season. I know he's very passionate about his team. He understands. He's very offensive-minded. Tell me about your relationship with Coach Riddle and Coach Tabbert.
Well, my first year here, my quarterback coach was DJ Mangus, who he was a receiver at William & Mary. He was my quarterback coach my first year here. And then my second year, they brought in Scott Riddle, who was a quarterback at Elon, broke a lot of their passing records, and he brought a lot of stuff to the table my junior and senior year. I think that's why my numbers were a lot better. And just with his coaching, he just I got to see the game through a different eye, and we did a lot of fun stuff together. And he was just great to have there, you know, especially somebody that's younger. You can come off the field and talk to and understand what you're going through. And then, you know, Coach Favorette, you know, that was one of the biggest things that I saw appetizing about Hampton Sydney is Coach Favorette. He really liked to throw it around, and he has a lot of neat ideas he does offensively. We make a lot of big-time throws that you don't see in at our level. You know, he's been blessed to have a good coaching staff around him, and that's why he's been so successful in the ODAC over the past 10, 12 years. But yeah, I mean it's been a great 3 years with those guys and Coach Favorette. I mean, I will say he's probably one of the most ballsy coaches at our level. I mean we go for it on fourth down like probably I don't know 65% of the time. So it's make or break on a lot of the plays. But it's been a fun offense to play in, and I don't regret coming here one bit.
You know, I think you touched on a lot of different things of how they've developed you and, you know, helped you along. I'm going to bring up a few guys that you might have worked with some or, you know, veterans that are now or players that have gone to the NFL, especially somebody like Scott Riddle, who actually played in the CFL. I was familiar with him. And also the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had some time there. Have you interacted with Scott to give you any kind of insight of the transitional journey, or somebody like Tyler Bure? I'm not sure if you actually interacted with while you were at Tennessee. Were any of these guys give you insight for the NFL ahead?
Yeah, I mean, Scott, you know, over the past 2 years, he knew I was a really talented guy, and he knows I was going to have opportunities after college to play, and he informed me on a lot of the formalities. But also, you know, Derek and I, you know, he's talked to me a lot about it. He's basically my brother. And then I've also had a lot of other guys. Chris Durham, who's actually from my hometown, played at Calhoun High School, played at Georgia. You know, he's told me a lot about the process, and his dad has informed me a lot. And I've kind of just used what they've told me to kind of, see what I've gone through. But also my quarterback coaches, Ken Mastroli, who's down in Florida, the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. You know, he's helped me out a lot. I went to him last spring break with Dylan Thompson and John O'Korn, who I think he just transferred to Michigan. But, Coach Mastroli, you know, he's been a big benefit for me just getting to know him, and he's kind of opened my mind up to a lot of the different things you see as a quarterback going on to the next level, the different throws you make. Just working with him has been really awesome. And then also I went to Tom House out in California 2 years ago, and we've stayed in contact, and just working with these guys that really are elite quarterback coaches has been really beneficial to my success in college.
I think it's so crucial when you have a really good quarterback coach and a coach that you helped with to help you develop. You know, there's a whole bunch of big NFL guys that really help out a lot of different folks. And it really seems like you have people that really believe in your ability. And even if coming from a smaller school, you know, so often I think smaller school guys get overlooked, and they have a lot of ability. So, you know, I think you have a great head on your shoulders. Next part of the segment I'm going to move into is what I call the shadow comparison segment. You tell me who you compare your game to, and I've already kind of hinted to you tonight or, you know, today of who I compare your game to. I've watched your highlights and watched some of your film. I think I spent about an hour today to take a really good look at your game. And I have a name that's going to surprise you, but I'm sure the listeners would love to know somebody that is probably one of the biggest comparisons I've given on the show, but your game's very much like this guy. But go ahead and tell our listeners who you compare your game around to, or who do you mold your game around.
Well, I like there's a couple guys I like in the NFL, but one guy I feel like my game is a lot like is Alex Smith. I think he's a really good athlete and he's a great quarterback and he's just he's very accurate, but he can also, when he needs to, make play with his legs. He did in college a little bit, and in the NFL he does it when he has to. And then Aaron Rodgers, I idolize him. He's a great quarterback, just very cerebral guy. But you can tell how calm he stays in the games, and I feel like that's one of the things I do a good job at, just no matter the situation, just staying pretty calm.
Those are two quarterbacks that are widely respected in the league. Alex Smith has had an up and down start to his career, but now he's a very solid quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is probably arguably the best quarterback in the league right now. I can see why you say that. I've watched your game a lot today, and I've really sat down to understand it. But I'm going to compare your game to a guy that was drafted when neither of us were born yet. He was drafted in 1971 in the third round from Augustana College. That's a D3 school. And he's known as one of the best Bengals quarterbacks of all time that doesn't get enough credit by the media. Great minds, and I'm comparing your game to one of the best quarterbacks that most people don't talk about is Ken Anderson. Kenny Anderson, are you familiar with him?
Yes, sir. I know of him very well. he's about my size. Played at the Cincinnati Bengals. What season? He was there for 1980. Let's see, what years was he there?
Well, he was drafted in 71, and he probably went to about 83. So
He
got Comeback Player of the Year in 1981, and he was also, a very key component in developing a West Coast quarterback. I mean, he was one of the first guys to actually bring that into development. And when I watch his tape, and I'm very familiar with this game, I'm not a Bengals fan, but I'm very familiar with past guys because I try to see how I help evaluation process. But something that he stood tall in the pocket, made the throws when they count. When you watch your film, it's the same way. You scan the field. You never show any signs of pressure. But if you need to run outside the pocket, you do. And you can pick up yards very easily. And Anderson was the same way. If Anderson had to run, he was going to take up field. And he was one of the best mobile quarterbacks. Not best, but very well known as a very good mobile quarterback, if need be. But, he prided himself in the pocket first, making very accurate throws. Same thing I see here in your game. So that's who I compare your game around, Ken Anderson. The legendary Ken Anderson, who still isn't in the Hall of Fame. A lot of people are just like, this guy should be in the Hall of Fame, but he isn't. So that's who I compare your game around to.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, he was a four-time Pro Bowler. And he was about my size. He was about 6'2". I think I was a little bit heavier, but I think he was about 6'2", 215, somewhere around there. But, yeah, he had a really good season, the 1981 season. I sat there and looked that up. He did make Comeback Player of the Year that year. That was awesome. But that's the first. But that's awesome to be compared to somebody with that elite. That's had that great of career in pro football. Just being compared to somebody upon that level is very prestigious and very honorable. And I appreciate that.
No, I'm not just saying it because, you're talented, but, you both coming from the same or smaller school background. He came from Augustana College, which isn't very big at all. Third-round pick, draft's a little bit different now. Third-round or D3 guys typically don't go in the third round unless they're just some freaking nature.
That's right.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, a lot of, It's funny, especially coming from, you don't see quarterbacks, mainly quarterbacks going from, Division I football down to Division III. And I will say, since, being in Division III, I really had no idea, when I first visited Hampton, Sydney, I had to do a lot of research on it. But, I'd never heard of a lot of the schools before just because, you know, being so highly recruited out of high school, you're not informed in on those type of schools. But once I was here my first season, it was very eye opening to see all the talent that was at the Division III level and how many kids just kind of leak through down to the system. It's either kids that might not have been tall enough or their 40 wasn't fast enough, but they're great football players. And I think, Division III football is, it's football at its most simple form. You know, kids aren't out here playing, to get drafted. Predominantly most of these kids are just playing because they love the game of football and they have an opportunity to do that and get a great education. So, it's been an honor and a blessing just to play at Hampton Sydney and, represent the school on such a bigger stage than most kids ever get to. So, just kudos to Coach Favrette and, Dr. Howard, the president of our school, to, give me the decide to come here. And it's just been a great experience.
I think it's great. You give credit back to everyone that shaped you. Quickly, let's go over this until I move into the three wish segment, as I call it. Tell me just briefly about your experience at the D3 Classic.
Oh, D3 Classic was great. I actually talked to the two guys that put it on. There was three guys that I actually played this season that were on my team there. And, it was a great experience. I'd recommend it to a lot of the guys. You're there for a little less than a week. It's kind of crazy from an offensive standpoint, to put in an offense in so many few days. So, you dumb it down a little bit and you run a lot of basic plays, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of those kids, I'd say probably 70-80% of those kids, that's kind of like their last college game that they'll ever play, and maybe their last game ever. So, but it was just an awesome opportunity to go out there and compete with all the elite players at this level, for that game. It was kind of crazy. We had a great week of weather all during practice, and then we come to the game, and it was like a torrential downpour. It was cold. I mean, honestly, one of the worst weather games I'd ever been a part of. But it was an awesome experience. I definitely recommend it to any of the guys that get the opportunity to go play in it, to do it, because it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of kids from all walks of life, all over the country. And it's just, it's good to know that you're one of the elite guys in the country to go out there and represent your school.
I think it's a great way to give yourself exposure, regardless of what level it is. You never know who's watching, and, I think a lot of teams look at that. So let's move into my three wish segment. We've got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to try to squeeze in everything I usually do in a show, but this has been a great show so far, to say the least, but let's do the three wish segment. Typically this time of the show, I usually ask the guys I interview, I'm a genie and you found me in a bottle, and you have three wishes to wish for anything you want. The only thing you can't wish for is to instantly make it to the NFL, CFL, AFL, or any roster whatsoever, but anything else is fair game. So do you have three wishes that you wish that I can grant?
Oh, man. Okay, here we go. I guess my first wish would be just to be given an opportunity to go and compete in front of as many head coaches and GMs as possible, which, I am going to the combine on the 28th, and that's going to be a big deal. But just being able to sit down and talk to these coaches, that would be my next wish, would be, just – given the opportunity to sit down and talk to these coaches, tell them my story, tell them, my offensive mindset as a quarterback and, what I have to offer. And then, my third wish, I guess, would be to, no matter what happens, just to live a great life and be happy, with what I have and stay healthy. That would probably be my last and final wish.
I think those are three great wishes. They're something that you can build around, something that, you can use going forward in your career, whatever you may do. I mean, you've also valued your education, so I know you have a fallback plan, so football isn't the end journey if it doesn't happen. But I think that you have a backup plan with a great job, And last segment of the show, I want to talk to you about who's your favorite team?
NFL team? My favorite NFL team is probably either the Green Bay Packers or I pull for the Falcons because I'm a Georgia boy, but I definitely pull for the Packers mainly because Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just watching him it's really fun to watch him play and move the ball up and down the field and just lead the other 10 guys out there on the field with him.
Okay, so let's say the Green Bay Packers, Ted Thompson, the general manager for the Packers, had brought you in for a workout. He liked what he saw from you. They're looking for a backup quarterback, someone to groom for Rodgers for a little while. Wouldn't it be something if you could learn behind him? You ran a great 40, a 4.6, which I think that's about what you run on tape. That's what it shows. You have great arm strength, and, you've had a good day. Ted Thompson sits across from you. The scouts leave the room. Everyone leaves the room. He's like, you have 2 minutes to tell me why Nash Nance is a good fit for the Green Bay Packers. Go.
Well, Coach, I think that, first of all, I'm a winner. Second off, there's no one on your team that's going to outwork me. I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers a run for his money. I know he works his tail off, but I promise you I'm going to be nipping at his heels. But there's no one that's going to outwork me. I've done that throughout my whole high school and college career is work, I believe. Good things come to those who work their tail off. I don't think it has so much to do with luck. It's just really the work you put in is what you get out of it. And, I promise since day one, as long as you sign me, I'm going to come in ready to work and give it my all. And that's all you can ask of me.
The crowd goes wild. We had a lot of pictures in that little few things that you're a proven winner. I think they really take that into account. I think they really look at winners, team leaders. I know you're a leader in the locker room, someone that the players really look to. I think that it shows on film what kind of player you are. I think you'd be great in a Green Bay system, actually. I think you'd be a perfect fit there. So, I think you hit on a lot of key things that NFL teams are looking for. And, if the Packers happen to give you a chance, I think you would definitely excel in that system. So I'm going to let you give a shout-out to anyone you want. You've got about a minute or so. If you want to give a shout-out to anyone, a teammate, mother, father, a friend, anyone, the floor is yours.
Well, I guess shout-out-wise, I'd like to give a shout-out to my quarterback coach, Ken Mastroli, down in Florida. Working with him has been awesome. I also want to give a shout-out to, my dad. He's been there since day one, been with me through a lot of the process. And, also my other family, my granddad, my grandmother, my mom. They've all been there for me, and it's been a great ride. And, just my best friends, too, the guys I lived with at Tennessee and the guys I lived with here. It's been awesome.
Sports fans, draft fans, Nash Nance, D3, superstar from Hampton, Sydney, really great guy. If you want to follow his NFL journey on Twitter as he goes forward to the combines and everything else, I was going to ask a pro day, but we really didn't have much time left. If you want to check him out on Twitter, capital N, lowercase Nance 6, that's how you can follow him. Keep up to date with him going forward. He will be tweeting stuff about what he's going forward. And with that being said, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate the time, and I wish you the very best going forward.
Thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome, and take care.
All right. Have a good one.
Sports fans, Nash Nance, Hampton, Sydney quarterback, 6'3", 220 pounds, D3 All-Star, D3 Classic player, 3-time All-Conference player, 3-time All-Academic, great leader in the locker room, great guy. Shows on tape. I compare him to Ken Anderson for various reasons. I think he has a lot to provide for an NFL franchise. So if you want to check him out, capital N, lowercase Nance 6 on Twitter. With that being said, I'm your host, DW. signing off tonight. If you missed this interview in its entirety at all, NFLDraftRoom.com/interviews. I'm signing off tonight. Tomorrow night we will have Dante Swinton from Gardner Room. Have a great night, everyone, and take care.